You're listening to Vatican Radio.
A gruesome and terrifying cache made up of some 55,000 photographs of victims of torture perpetrated by the Syrian regime exposes the horror that took place between 2011 and 2013 in the prisons of Damascus. Entitled Codename Caesar, Syrian Detainees, Victims of Torture, a selection of those images make up an exhibition that has been shown at the United Nations in New York, at the Foreign Affairs Committee of the US Congress, at the Holocaust Museum in Washington, and in major European cities. It's currently showing in Rome, and Muaz Mustafa, executive director of the Syrian Emergency Task Force, who presented the exhibition to the press, told Vatican Radio that work is ongoing not only to try and identify the victims in the photographs, but also to try and obtain some justice.
Caesar Team is a group of people that essentially are working in many ways as volunteers because there is no funding for the Caesar file in general. It includes Caesar, it includes Sammy, his relative who helped him escape and helped with the documentation of the photos. It includes a team of international lawyers headed by Ambassador Stephen Rapp, former U.S. war crimes ambassador, who currently is funded by the Hague Institute and the United States National Memorial Holocaust Museum to be able to head the legal efforts along with other international lawyers to try to bring cases in different European countries. We have a team that works as well between Istanbul and the United States that works on going through the photographs and dealing with families and victims' families to try to identify as many people as possible because we have just the faces and the numbers that are written on their bodies. And so we now know about 780 and we're trying to find out who everyone is so we can tell their families, so we can bring closure and we can try to bring justice.
Who exactly is Caesar?
Caesar is actually a man that comes from the sort of farmlands of Syria, not very highly educated, not political at all, sort of a simple, humble man that's very representative of the amazing people in Syria, who was a military forensic photographer for the military police in Damascus. And his job, routinely, before the revolution, before the war, was to take pictures of any accidents or incidents that happen under the auspices of the Ministry of Defense. So Caesar, at the beginning of the revolution, in April of 2011, was asked to go on another job, go to Hospital 601, Mezze Military Hospital, which, by the way, and I wanted to mention that earlier, Mezze Military Hospital is very close to the presidential palace. And whenever the morgues were full, they started using the garage outside. And from the presidential palace, if the dictator was to walk to his window, there is less than a kilometer clear line of sight where he would see these bodies every single day. Just to finish the answer, though, Caesar ended up going, seeing those photos, wanting to leave, asked people help him escape. The reply was, sure, we'll help, but can you stay? And so he decided to stay. So Caesar, in another description, is really a hero, not just of Syria, but of humanity. Someone who, for 2.5 years, risked his life every single day. From both the opposition and the regime, because he's working as a military policeman, to be able to document almost 55,000 pictures of men, women, and children tortured to death.
You said that only 780 persons have been identified out of the 55,000 pictures. Are you trying to identify the others? And what happens with their relations and their parents when someone is identified?
So 55,000 photographs, there are 4 photographs of each person and so on, different photos. So it's not 55,000 people in the photo, but it's 55,000 photos. Still, there are thousands of people. You know, by the counting, by the numbering, it comes up to about 11,000. By the photos, about 6,700. We've only identified 781 because it's very difficult. First of all, people are tortured. The pictures that you'll see are the nicest ones. Like, there are some that you know, people have had acid poured on them, terrible things where the skin is melting off, so we can't even tell who they are, and it's almost impossible. But we've identified them by family members that either sent us a photo and we found a match, or that they saw our photos and said, this is our loved one. And what happens to the parents? It's weird. Sometimes there's a relief to know that it's over, that their loved one has passed away, has died. because it became a business. You know, the same torturers are ones that extort money from families. They say, look, we will make sure that he's not tortured so much, or maybe we will give him a pillow one night or something. And so people are paying just to know what's happening to their loved ones.
Do these families ask for justice? And then what happens?
First, you know, they do ask for justice right away. Everyone asks for accountability. Okay, it's okay, our son is gone, our daughter is gone. Now, what can we do to make sure that we can bring this to court, to bring justice? And unfortunately, what I do is I have to ask them, does your son or daughter have another citizenship? Do they happen to also have Swedish citizenship or Canadian or something? And many times the answer is no, they're Syrian citizens. And then my answer has to be the fact that we can't do anything for you because, you know, a referral to the International Criminal Court is vetoed by the Russians in the ICC. The fact is that because your son is Syrian, because you are Syrian, then we can't even bring a court case to find justice. And it never gets easy. I've done it many times, and it's never easy. And it's tough because I think it's that moment where they always know, they've always think, well, people don't care about what happens to us. But that moment, it just proves to them on a very personal level that it doesn't matter. And to answer your second question, my role in the Caesar team fell in my lap at the same time that my own family members were taken by the regime into Air Force Intelligence Branch, one of the worst branches in Syria. They're all horrible. And so it was, in a weird way, sort of a way to do something. You know, I couldn't help them. I couldn't get them out or do anything. But anything that I'm able to do now is to try to bring justice to those who lost their lives, but also at the same time, and what's way more important to me, and important to even the families that lost loved ones, is that they don't suffer the same fate. And so the hundreds of thousands of people that are there not to be, end up being tortured the same way. And what's very heartening is that all these families, they ask for justice, but then they spend the rest of the conversation saying, Allah faraj an al-ba'ayat, like, may God help release the rest that are there, may God help bless them. And as a Muslim, I hope that, you know, the prayers of the oppressed are answered by God if they're not answered or helped by man.
That was Muaz Mustafa, Executive Director of the Syrian Emergency Task Force.